for your fan base.
There you go.
Now, the Warriors. Let's go positive with the Warriors here. I mean, I loved what I saw. Getting up and down the floor with pace, sharing the ball, getting on the floor, diving after. It's game one. We're playing like it's game seven of the finals. We're getting after every loose ball. First one there. I loved it. I mean, if this is the recipe, get 45 three-pointers up and lock in on defense and run the floor, I mean, I love it. They got the personnel to do that, and it reminded me of, you know, back when they had Iggy and Livingston, and they're running all these different sets. No matter who was out there, they're moving the ball, and that is what leads to those easy dunks at the basket. Oh, you got a shot? You know what? He's got a better shot. Oh, this guy's got – oh, he's got a layup. Let's hit him. And that movement was non-existent last year with – it's game one. I know this is going to be a theme of the season. I'm not going to just try to harp on him, but a lot of my positive vibes is directly correlated to Klay Thompson's play the last couple of years. I mean, if Klay Thompson's out there getting 30, 35 minutes last night, taking 20 shots, you think we blow them out by 40 points? I sure don't. I don't. I think they hang. I mean, that's how bad Klay Thompson has been.
Stop.
He couldn't guard anybody on that Trailblazers team. Just like last year when we played him and we had to bring in Kuminga in the third quarter to swing that game in Portland.
Wait a minute, Chris. That's all on Klay Thompson. We're seriously going to put everything on Klay Thompson?
No.
That's what we're going to do.
Not everything, but simply the subtraction of Klay Thompson made them better. That's my viewpoint. And obviously adding guys like Melton, slow-mo coming in to close out quarters. You got a lot more depth. You know, hopefully they can go back to the strength in numbers. But you can't sit there and tell me that Klay Thompson playing 35 minutes with no defense, which is 50% of the game, chucking up shots out of the rhythm of the offense, you can't tell me that what you saw last night was a complete 180 from how this team has played the last few years with Klay Thompson. Let me get this straight.
So it doesn't matter that he shot 43% from three post All-Star break. It just matters that he was chucking, huh? Somebody had to shoot, right? Right, Chris?
I agree with that. Somebody's got to shoot, but when you think about basketball, Bonte, or any sport, it's 50% offense, it's 50% defense, my man.
I hear that. Who else is playing defense, though?
He couldn't do one half of the game.
All right, man. All right, that's fair.
Bonte, but here's what I would say.
That's your opinion.
I think it's
just completely unfair to just say the Blazers stink, all right? If Klay Thompson plays 35 minutes last night, they beat the Blazers by 30. I mean, is there really a difference?
I don't know.
Seriously.
I think there is, Monte, I think there's a lot of differences. And I think one of the many parts of what's different is the fact that there is no Klay Thompson. There is a difference where guys on the floor would try to get him the rock. And yet there's a lot that goes into it. No one is saying he's the sole thing. But he's a part of the pie chart of culpability.
Chris
he's a part
just said,
of it.
Yes, one player. He basically said, yes, it's Klay Thompson.
Well, it's hard to not watch this team.
It's hard for me to take Chris and San Jose seriously when he starts off the call by saying, I was one of those fans who dogged out Andrew Wiggins. I apologize on behalf of Warrior fans. And then he turns around 30 seconds later and takes the rifle and just shoots down Klay Thompson, who's an all-time legend here. I thought we were going to move on from last year. Apparently, we haven't yet, and it's all on. Like there's just so many things that happened last season with this team. Kuminga's role, not knowing what his role is. Remember, Kuminga went to the press and said, "Get me out of here during the Denver Nuggets game. Get me out of here," because he didn't play the last 18 minutes. And then, of course, he goes to the media. He has a conversation with Steve Kerr. Then all of a sudden, he starts balling. There's a Chris Paul element. There's the Andrew Wiggins element.
There's a lot of elements.
This team has moved on. The vibes are great. Klay's moved on. The Warriors moved on. I'm happy about it because obviously Klay was mentally in a dark place trying to find himself. And I think, again, we talk about sensitivity issues and getting on Andrew Wiggins. It's so obvious. And it was so obvious that Klay was reading stuff and listening to things, and it got to him. It got to him because Klay's a sensitive guy. He hears his own fan base coming down on him every single game, and he's thinking to himself, man, I helped build this damn thing. So, yeah, mentally he was done, and he went to the bench like everybody wanted and played well on the bench and got no credit for it. I moved on from Klay Thompson. The vibes are good. But we can't just pinpoint and say, oh, it's all on Klay Thompson. When we had one guy miss 27 games, we had Andrew Wiggins have a career low, we had Chris Paul doing what he, like, it's like, come on.
They're
guys.
All baked into the pie. Bonte, it's all baked into the pie, but he is a part of it, right? And so's the Draymond suspensions and the Kuminga yo-yoing and Andrew Wiggins. Me personally, I separate the two between personal stuff that's happening with your family and Andrew Wiggins. Like, I separate that from the professional pitfalls of social media. Like, that's a little different. Like, that kind of comes with the territory when you're making gobs of money in the NBA, in the NFL, in Major League Baseball. You know, part of the navigating of it is criticism, right? Like, that's what you get paid for.
No doubt. That's part of it. But I don't even want to go back down this road. The Warriors blow that team out 2 years ago. Last year,
I don't know.
Before,
no, I see. I disagree. I think that's a game where I watched Steve Kerr call a couple of good timeouts, make some good substitutions. I felt like Steve was coaching that game the way I wanted him to coach that game, which was like, all right, I have to be on this because this 17-point lead could cut to 10, could cut to 8, and we want to get this thing up to 25. Like, I actually don't think that they blow that team out last year.
That's the worst. That's the worst team in the league.
I agree. But that's how bad things were last year. My feel.
That's the worst team in the league.
How many blowouts did they have by 30 last year?
They blew a lot of good teams out. Not a lot of good teams. They blew some bad teams out. Last year was a joke. Last year, the parts did not fit. There's a lot of guys in and out the lineup. Last year is last year. Last year, and they still won. They still somehow won 46 games. Obviously, it was clunky as hell. They didn't beat good teams. That's my big takeaway. They were 10-34. They were 10-34 against good teams last season. So the team just didn't fit last season. And we've moved on. But I'm not going to kick Klay on the way out. You know, I'm not going to kick him down. I'm going to thank Klay for the 4 championships and move on. Give him a standing ovation. But to just put, like, you can't call in and just say, hey, man, I apologize to Wiggins after dogging him for 2 years, not listening to anybody, dogging Wiggins knowing that he's going through what he's going through. And it's like, oh, man, I apologize. And then kick Klay on the way out. That's not fair, man.
We also didn't know in real time what Wiggins was going.
Well, we kind of knew, and nobody wanted to listen because everybody assumed that it was something else.
Well, no, they told us it was private. So, a lot of people were in the. We didn't know. We kept asking, like, what is going on?
Tim and Riley, what's happening? Tim and Riley.
What's up, fellas? Hey, Tim, I'm with both of you guys, I believe. I think, Wiggins had the stuff going on, but he also is a couple of things. He's back at his natural position, what he came into the league as, which is a shooting guard, and he's being empowered. Like, you know, when Wiggins was with Klay, Chris, you know, Wiggins is a passive type of person. He's not a dominating personality, going to demand the ball and all of that type of stuff. But now he knows that they need him. He knows he needs to get back to his 17 to 22 points a game, and I think that's helping him just be more comfortable out there. You got to remember, he's not even all the way in shape again right now. He's still working his way back, you know. And then the whole Kuminga thing, Kuminga is going to be under the microscope all year.
Oh my
For whatever gosh. Reason, you got about 50% haters that criticize and critique every little negative and give absolutely no positive, no feedback when he does great. So he has to stay in himself and just be himself, and he's going to be fine. He's playing for something bigger that may happen on this team or may not happen on this team. Yeah. So as long as he does that, he is going to be absolutely fine. And I love that first lineup, and I hope Kerr stays with it because that's the most powerful, the most athletic lineup, and he needs to just stay with that one. And then if you bring those bench players in and they start running and gunning, I like that, man. I like what they're doing. So I hope he stays the course. Like I said, Kuminga is going to be fine, and he just needs to stay within himself and work through it, man. But I agree with you on Andrew on Bonte. But it's a lot of hypocrites out there, man. It's going to be people calling in now all about Andrew Wiggins, and they were shoveling dirt on him last year. But
it's the way it works. I get it. 888-957-9570. Let's get back to the positive vibe for last night. The positive vibe. What stuck out to you last night? What do you like about this team? Look, Andrew Wiggins, can we give Kuminga 10 games for crying out loud? Because I already see it. I see it on the Comcast Business Text line. I see your tweets.
You didn't think he did good things last night?
I love what Kuminga did last night. I said it on the postgame show last night. I like what Kuminga did. I like what Kuminga did. He's going to struggle because people don't see the ball going to hoop, and there's some cluckiness at times, and they see the 4 turnovers. Let him get 10 games in. Let's get 20 games in before we start making sweeping proclamations on whether or not I can do something in this office, man. It's just, we're not going to do that on day number one, are we? All right, what's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Crystal Kaiser, Alpine Springwater, Morphin Fall Calls. I want to hear from Latrell and Hayward. He loves this brand of basketball, so I want to hear what he loves about this brand of basketball. That's coming up, plus the rest of your fall calls, 888-957-9570. Warriors get the win in their season opener.
Gets it to Lindy Waters. Good story for the Warriors. And a game winner in the preseason. Jackson Davis spins and gets another dunk. He just spun right by the rookie who was left frozen. And Jackson Davis using that year of experience to his advantage.
Hey, Dub Nation. It's Trace Jackson Davis. And you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
TJD has Tim Roy on the call right there. Lindsay Water third is a good story there. And that guy can shoot. But TJD, quietly, and nobody's going to talk about it. But you look up, you see him start 24 minutes, 37 seconds. He goes 5-for-5 from the floor. Goes 4-for-5 from the free throw line. Scores at 14, 4 rebounds, had a poster. Dunked all over the Blazers. TJD in his second year, growing edge. He looks stronger, he looks more athletic. And the Warriors have told this guy, I need you sprinting baseline to baseline, buddy. Baseline to baseline, I need you to sprint. TJD, man. Look out for him in the second year. What a good pick by Mike Dunleavy so far. Mike Dunleavy taking TJD at 57 overall, and of course, Brandon Podziemski in the first round. But the kids in Moody, Pods, TJD, and Kuminga, they're going to be essential to this team. How can they complement the veterans here? Because Buddy Hield, De'Anthony Melton, and Kyle Anderson, they know their roles. They know how to play the game. They've been in the league for a long time. Kevon Looney in his 10th season, he knows what he's doing. How can these young kids help complement Steph, Dre, and the veterans here? And I thought, so far, so good for the Golden State Warriors, Shasky.
You know, TJD's hands are so much better than I thought.
Yep.
And then his ability to hit some of these pocket passes. He had a couple of little, like, touch push passes that were just brilliant. And I just think defensively, he's really smart and knows how to use his body. And, like, I said, like, going vertical, so like hands straight up, I'm in the air, but I'm not like lower body crashing you. I'm not upper body kind of slamming you. He just does a really good job of going straight up, even when he leaves his feet.
Mm-hmm. TJD balling it. And then obviously the big question is, is Steve Kerr really going to play 12 guys? Is he going to maintain this rotation? Here's what he said last night in Portland.
I mean, we're going to do it. I've never played 12 before, but we're going to do it. So it's not easy, but it's not easy on anybody. But we just have to trust that from one night to the next, we're going to find guys and combinations that really work. And the guys have to understand that some nights their night, some nights not. And that's okay as long as we continue to play together and play hard. I think it's going to be a really fun team to watch for our fans. They play both sides of the ball, and you know, a lot of good energy, and they like each other. The ball moves, and it was fun to watch them play tonight.
They like each other.
So that's Steve Kerr.
That's interesting.
Here's what Buddy Hield said about what it takes to be part of a 12-man rotation.
First of all, you got to start off liking each other. I feel like everybody has the right personalities. Everybody comes in, and you know, there's no egos. And plus, me coming here, there's a standard that these guys go by, and it's championship. They've done the work. So no matter what you say is wrong, because whatever they say is right, and you just go by that. And you learn, and you listen, and you try to observe everything, and you just try to figure out how to apply myself into their like uniqueness and how I can be effective.
All right, Andrew Wiggins, what do you think about the 12-man rotation? Can this really work?
Man, I feel like this is a very deep team, so it might work for real. You know, I feel like we have a lot of good players that can come out, and you know, our point emphasis is to run. You know, play fast, and you play fast, guys are going to get tired, and I feel like when the bench comes in, you know, we're not going to miss a beat.
Bench did come in and give them a nice boost in the first quarter to kind of stabilize the basketball game. And, of course, they helped their Pods and TJD, of course, that second unit lineup alongside Steph and Dre and Buddy Hield. I thought they was able to flip that game midway through the second quarter. But going 12 deep, 11-12 deep here, Shasky, you can wear teams down with this type of pace. It's going to be very interesting to see how teams are able to keep up with the Warriors. They're continuing at this pace, and they're hitting their threes. Like, they shot 50% from the three-point line from the second quarter on. You know, in the first quarter, they were 2 of 12. The rest of the way, they go 18 of 36 from the three-point line. If they're bombing and making their threes and they're pushing the pace like this, I'm looking at the other team's legs saying, are they going to be able to keep up with the Warriors all season long?
Yeah, they got to a lot of loose balls. They did a really good job being active on the glass. And then, like, you know, one guy tips it, and then two or three guys are surrounding the ball. And then let's push it up court. There were a couple times where they got easy buckets on the other end, just hustling, literally just hustling. I made this comp yesterday. Like, obviously, they play totally different positions. Buddy Hield, I think, is coming for some of the most Spates fan favorite type stuff. I think he's going to be a guy. He'll have bad games, all right? I'm not here to say he won't, and people are going to get frustrated. But I think that he's got a little, like, Mo Spates vibe to him where we're just going to accept, hey, he's out there to stretch the floor and shoot, and we want him to just take shots.
You know, it's very fascinating with Buddy Hield. We're going to get to the calls in just a second here. Coach Latrell Riley. We talked about this with, you know, Fezzi and Mully before the show yesterday, and, you know, obviously on our pregame, pre-show call. And Buddy Hield, this is now his fourth team. And I just kept trying to figure out, why didn't Philadelphia play him in the playoff series against the New York Knicks? He had that one quarter, but they didn't really play him. And Embiid was hurt. Tobias Harris was MIA. He was on a milk carton. And they didn't play Buddy. And Indiana, which has a similar style with Rick Carlisle, where they're running up and down with Tyrese Halliburton and they're getting up threes, they traded Buddy. And I'm thinking to myself, why did they trade Buddy Buckets? What's going on there? Well, you know what? It may be a question that I never get the answer to, but he comes here, and all of a sudden it's a revelation to where, you know, the threes that Klay Thompson got up, those are a lot of shots. 200 made threes by Klay Thompson. Those are a lot of shots available for guys like Buddy Hield and Moses Moody and Andrew Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga. But I kept thinking to myself, why is Buddy getting shipped around everywhere? Obviously, it's sour to Sacramento in the images. We get Kenny Caraway talking about Buddy Hills. They cannot stand him in Sacramento. And I remember watching him one day sitting courtside watching the Kings. And I'm like, Buddy's just not even moving. There's no way he could play in the system. Well, damn, I've been proven wrong.
Well, Bonte, maybe the player or the individual has grown. Like, because in the preseason, I saw him move more on defense for loose ball than I've ever seen him move.
That's what I'm saying. I think maybe he had
a wake-up call by being on his fourth team. Yeah, you know, maybe. Sometimes that happens to guys, you know, and they realize, like, I'm not a star. I am now a role player, and I need to embrace that to be the best version of myself. I believe that Andre Iguodala, he doesn't have the back end of his career if he doesn't acknowledge where he's at.
Yeah,
no in his doubt. Career. You know, he was the lead dog for so many years. And I think part of the beauty of what made him such a great player for the Warriors is, like, him acknowledging and recognizing where he was in his career.
There's no
Sean Livingston, same thing.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Buddy, like, getting traded from Sacramento after being a first-round pick. And, again, those images that I saw when he was with the Kings and the lack of movement, I was thinking at the time, there's no way he could play in a system like the Golden State Warriors. Are you kidding me? Did he get traded to Indiana? And he has – look, he started playing well for Indiana, and they just flipped him. They moved him. And I'm thinking to myself, why they move him? And then Philadelphia doesn't play him. They just didn't play him in the playoffs. And I'm thinking to myself, well, they needed some shooting. They needed some spacing for Joel Embiid. And you don't play him, and he has that one quarter against the New York Knicks. What was it, game six maybe, or game four? I don't remember the game. But then now he comes to the Golden State Warriors, and there's a defined role for him. He knows, I'm coming in maybe as a sixth man. I'm going to get 15 to 20 minutes, maybe in 25 minutes, and I'm going to get shots up. And they're going to look for me as I move around here. And he lights it up going 8 to 12 and scores 22 yesterday. This guy could shoot it.
But isn't it also a part, like a function of this, the Curry-Kerr era, where it feels like we love these reclamation projects on the fringes? Dante DiVincenzo, you know, Nick Young, JaVale McGee, all these guys that, like, hey, this might be your last stop.
Otto
like,
Porter Jr.
Right, exactly. And look, not all of them have worked. Like, Kelly Oubre was at a different point in his career. It didn't work. Like, I'm not saying it works every time, but they have done a good job. Like, come to the Warriors, go through the car wash, and then go out on the other end, and you're going to get a multi-year deal. Maybe not $20 million a year, but you're going to get a better deal out on the open market, and you're more valued. And I think a lot of guys find their home in the NBA with the Warriors.
Right. Is a 12-man rotation even possible? Because Moses Moody, and I could feel it. I didn't even look at the internet in the first quarter, but I could feel it. Moses Moody didn't play in the first quarter.
Wait a minute. So someone's mad about a rotation in
Moses
game
Moody
one.
Is now
of
the guy.
Course.
Moses Moody is now the guy who, where every fan, they love Moses Moody. And Moses Moody's always ready. He's a mature young man. He just signed a 3-year, $39 million deal. But I go, oh boy, he didn't play in the first quarter. But he started the second quarter. He picked up three quick fouls. And next thing you know, he turns around and have a solid game for himself, going 5 of 11 and scored 15 yesterday in just 14 minutes and 53 seconds. So I just want to know, is a 12-man rotation possible for this basketball team? Is it possible moving forward?
Don't you agree that Draymond Green's minutes, especially early in the season, are going to be tapered off a little?
No doubt.
Because they didn't sub him back in until a little later, and Fitz and Buki were in the second quarter.
Yep.
And Fitz and Buki were kind of alluding, like, hey, I kind of like Draymond getting a little rest here, a little burn. And I did too. Like, we all agree, like, Draymond will wear down. Whether it's, you know, emotionally or physically, and he's a little older. And if he's going to bang with guys two and three times his size, I do think you need to taper and manage his minutes a little better. So I think that does open up the door for a deeper rotation. 11, 12, you're going to run into some stuff, I think, throughout the year. Just guys aren't playing well. You go to the wrong combinations. Guys don't understand when they're going in. But I would rather that. Like, what I'm seeing from this year's team, I just like the look better than last year. It fits. Yeah, there's the chemistry. And you heard Kerr and Buddy Hield say, like, we like each other. I couldn't believe that's the first sentence both said. We like each other. It's interesting.
Let's go to Latrell and Hayward. Latrell, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Yes, it's Latrell likes Freewell.
I like it.
I just gotta really shout out, you know, I think, you know, as a lifelong Warriors fan, I think that blend between unselfishness and athleticism is so key, and I'm glad that y'all brought up the Buddy quote, because I feel like that really highlights it all, right? Like, you have to be willing to want to see your teammate, your guy to the right of you, to the left of you, you want to see him do well. And you got to make sacrifices both on offense and defense. And I think that's what's so crucial about the Warriors is we're not the biggest team. You know, we don't have dominating size at every position. But in order for our help defense to work, guys got to sacrifice. And you see people getting steals right under the basket, you know, where they're trying to take advantage of our lack of height right there. And so, you know, I really want to give credit to the GMs. You know, I feel like they really made magic out of nothing. We're really restricted with the CBA. We don't have any draft capital to spend or make trades. Nobody wants to make trades with us, but we still may do. So I'm really excited about this season, man.
Yeah, you should be. Let's go to Riley in Stockton. Riley, what's happening?
Hey, Riley.
We'll get to the coach. What's up, Riley?
How's it going, fellas? First time caller, long time listener. Dubs got me fired up this morning. How about y'all?
Oh, man, I'm jacked up. I couldn't sleep.
I didn't
fall asleep till 1 in the morning, man.
Well, you know why.
Man, sorry, you and me both. I was listening to post-game. I was listening to Dubs talk. I had it going all night.
Wow. Yeah, I couldn't go to sleep last night. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I was too jacked up.
You already know it. But I just wanted to touch on Buddy Hield real quick, man. He was lighting it up last night. I had my brother in my ear, who was a Kings fan, telling me after his first shot, get used to that all year. And then I swear after that, he did not miss a shot. And this dude just kept looking at me, and I would look at him dead in the face. But, yeah, Wiggs' aggressiveness, love that. I love that all year. I need that at 22 Wiggs. And let me know on this nickname. I just wanted to make it quick and short, but Splash Bros will always be its own thing. I love Clay forever, Bay Area legend. But Splash Buds?
Not bad.
Not bad. I slipped into Splash Cousin yesterday. Bully looked at me. He was like, chill, dude. I was like, my bad, man. It's my bad. I got a little ahead of myself. Splash Buds?
No, don't talk about that.
Splash
is
Buds
Mullen the bad. Splash Uncle?
He might be. Yeah, that's a good call.
Because he was the original shooter.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Rick Barry as well.
That's a good call. Splash Buds. Splash Buds.
Let me marinate on that.
Yeah,
it gives me like an Air Buds feel to it, too. It's like the dog. I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Hey, Bonte, you said you didn't go to bed till late last night?
Yeah.
I had a feeling you'd be ear to ear when it comes to the smile this morning. Did you dream last night at all? Did you, like, when you went to bed, did you have that deep sleep where you have a dream?
No, I had a deep sleep because whenever I have deep sleeps, I don't remember the dream.
Really?
I'm just out. Oh. I'm out. Yeah, I was out like a light.
I would have assumed that you would have been dreaming about playoff checks.
Oh, no, not yet. We're a long way away from that. We're a long way away from that. Trust me. No, I was.
You thought about it.
No. But it was funny. Festus said something. And he goes, man, I called him on his birthday. His birthday was 2 days ago. And so we were talking on his birthday. And he was like, man, what suit you pulling? I say, man, I got the same suits, man. I'm broke, man. And Warriors were done in the regular season. We didn't get no playoff checks last year. We got one play-in check, and that was that. But no, I just couldn't sleep because I was like, man, basketball. I was playing a game over in my head, just kind of watching it on my phone. And I don't know, it was tough. Plus, I was on the couch because Chez has been sick. So I let them sleep in the bed. And I've been on the couch for the last 3 days and not the most comfortable. But I just couldn't sleep last night. I don't know. I was buzzing, man. Live action, highlights. I'm watching the highlights of the Suns and Clippers at the new stadium, the Intuit Dome.
The highlights.
The highlights, man. I was buzzing last night. Buzzing.
I loved how Steph Curry kind of felt out the game early on, almost like a veteran quarterback. Like, oh, you guys are going to play back on defense? I'm going to run the ball. Like, it felt like he really understood, like, early on in the season, let me defer a little. And then when it was time to kind of turn it on, he turned it on.
Well, I think that's going to help his game this season if he does take that approach. Let the other guys get a taste, right? Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond, TJD, Buddy Hill comes off the bench. They're all getting theirs. And all of a sudden, defenses, look, they're not going to let Curry alone. They're not going to leave Curry alone, I should say. But I think that could open up his game, moving forward to where he gets some easier shots like he did in the third quarter. Because all eyes are going to be on number 30. They're still going to double him. They're going to put long defenders on him like Jeremy Grant, like this Kamara kid who tried to defend him last year. He's a tough defender. He's physical, athletic. And don't forget, Matisse Thybulle was out for the Portland Trailblazers. So Curry would have saw a lot of Thybulle last night, but he didn't play. It seems like Thybulle always kills the Warriors, but he was out last night. He's got an injury, right knee inflammation. So I think that will help him moving forward, Chasky, letting the game come to him and letting other guys get theirs and have them feeling good. And then Curry knows that, okay, now it's go time. Let me flip the switch and start getting my game going. But overall, solid night for him, a rebound shy of a triple-double.
And Bonte, I cannot get over, and I know he's done it over, it's not overnight, but it's been over a 5-year period. If you look at rookie, and again, he was 20, but you look at rookie Curry versus body transformation, 37, 36, 38?
Yeah, 36. He'll be 37 in March.
Okay.
16 seasons now.
The transformation that he's made physically is unbelievable. And I know this happens, you get thicker, most of us get fatter, but he has transformed his body. He is jacked. It's unbelievable how jacked. In a cardio sport where it's hard to put on weight for some of these guys.
Where he loses a little bit of speed, you gain a little bit more strength to where you can finish a lot better at the rim. And you could get your shots off there. Curry,
more stable.
He does look ripped.
I can't get over when he goes to the free throw line how jacked his shoulders are.
Well, he started looking like that a couple years ago. You can see the transformation with their arms and everything. 888-957-9570 is the number again. What stuck out to you last night in the first game? The largest margin of victory for the Warriors in a season opener in franchise history. That's right, franchise, whether they're in Philadelphia, playing in San Diego for a cup of coffee, up here at the Cal Palace, the Oakland Coliseum, Chase Center, the largest margin of victory in a season opener for the Golden State Warriors. They blow away the Portland Trailblazers by 35 points last night. The previous largest margin of victory was against the LA Lakers back in 2013 when they blew out the Lakers by 31. 888-957-9570 is the number. What stuck out to you last night? What did you like? Or, you know what? I'll listen to a concern or two if you have one. 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go to Coach in Vallejo. Coach, what's happening?
Hey, Coach.
Hey, good morning, guys. And I'm going to be positive because I like the call. Let's make it all positive today. I think the speed of the game is going to play right into Kuminga and Wiggins' hands. First game, Kuminga was nervous like the rest of the Warriors. They all came out jacked up, but this is going to be great for him. But my biggest take from the game, and I don't know if you guys feel this way, and I don't think it's been mentioned this morning, is Melton. Melton, I just feel a comfort when he comes in the game. He takes over. He quarterbacks the game. He looks for everybody. The ball doesn't stick in his hands. I feel very, very comfortable when he's in the game. You're talking about a connector. Man, he puts everybody, and I know Jackson Davis loves that connection with Melton. So I think he might be the biggest key right now. He looks healthy. He's springy. He plays great defense. He can shoot the tray. So that was my biggest take. Yes.
No, Coach, I think it's a great point. I loved when you had Pods and Melton on the floor together because Pods can be frenetic, which is a good thing offensively. And it felt like you have multiple ball handlers and facilitators who could also knock down shots with that second unit. I thought that's when the game flipped.
Right, I agree, you know, and like I said, Melton just seems like an adult out there, you know. He seems like a second Curry out there that the team is comfortable when he's out there. So I think that with Melton, and like you say, with Pods out there, who's also looking for people, but Melton and the speed that he's playing with, he's healthy, and if the guy stays healthy, he's going to be the key, I think, to the Warriors.
Yeah, you know, Coach, great point there with De'Anthony Melton. I always felt like the Memphis Grizzlies traded the wrong guy. They traded him to Philadelphia, and I thought, why? Because of that second-round series against the Warriors, Melton was guarding Poole, and he was giving Curry some problems at times. And they gave him a quick hook for whatever reason. I don't know what was going on in the Memphis with the Memphis coaching staff, but I thought, that guy needs to play more. He's physical. He's tough. And he could talk that talk. This is a key acquisition for Dellavedova. This is a sneaky, sneaky move because I know the Clippers, they were in on this move as well on De'Anthony Melton. They almost got him going on down there to Intuit Dome, De'Anthony Melton, so the Warriors get him. He's a good stabilizer, man. This guy can guard. If he gets a three-point shot roller, because 2 of 8 yesterday, but he's getting them up, and he's going to be open with these shots. This is a key player for the Golden State Warriors, man. He's not overwhelmed by the moment. He's tough, man. Melton's going to be a key piece this season for the Warriors.
It just feels like the IQ of the entire team is so much better than last year. Okay, we're a couple games in, but it's so much better than last
which
year.
Which is crazy. Like, well, I had to cut you off. We think IQ, you had Chris Paul on the team. Which is crazy, right?
Yeah, but he wants to play he is. He's a really good player. This is not
smart.
A backhand.
You're talking about IQ. Just Chris Paul knows the game. He sees the game or whatnot. But the style just didn't feel like it matched.
Exactly. Like, but when you add Kyle Anderson, Melton, and Pod's clearly taking a step forward. Like, I don't know. All three of those guys with that second unit, it's just a little different. And I actually think, so like all the negatives, people are going to look at the shots that Kuminga missed. I thought there were like 7 or 8 little like in and out, some passes, some pocket passes, some spacing stuff where he knew where to be in relation to where Steph right. wanted to be. Where last year he just ran into guys or he just double cover a corner shot that Curry wants to hit one and you bring your guy over. I don't know. I think there were a lot of subtleties last night that tells me that this team, they're on the same page.
Well, when it comes to Kuminga, what I envision it, and hear me out here. Look, he's going to get his three-point shots up. Kerr watched all these guys shooting threes, and he was 3 of 9. But when he's running the floor, and he's putting pressure on the rim, you think about, like, James Worthy, for example, when he was running around. I'm not saying Kuminga's James Worthy at all. James Worthy's a Hall of Famer, yeah, one of the greatest Lakers of all time. But think about the way he ran the floor with the Showtime Lakers. Just think about it. Close your eyes and just think about James Worthy running to the basket, dunking on dudes, going to the rim, putting pressure on the rim, getting to the free throw line. Kuminga can do that offensively because he's so damn athletic, running baseline to baseline. Who's quicker than him running baseline to baseline? He has speed, a lot of speed. And we know about the athleticism and the fact that he's getting to the free throw line again. I think that's one of his great assets that could benefit the Warriors offensively. He got to the free throw line, he took 6 free throws yesterday. Steph Curry took 6 free throws yesterday. We know this team traditionally does not get to the free throw line. This guy's getting to the free throw line. So can he run the floor in the open court like a James Worthy? Like one of these guys who could just put pressure on the rim relentlessly, and then the three-point shot will come. So I'm not going to freak out over Kuminga over one game. He's solid.
But your point about like the finishing is very important because this is a team that doesn't really have a lot of guys that are going to attack the rim. And he had 2 sick layups in traffic. No doubt. One with the left and one, I believe, was a reverse on the right-hand side. It was – look, you need that. And to your point about the free throws, he missed one early, but – he was almost 75% from the free throw line last year on a team that doesn't get to the line. That is very important.
No, it's vital. It's vital for JK. And look, we got to give it to Gabe because we don't know it. It's going to be a talking point at some point. The contract extension that didn't get signed and they were far apart on it and he's got to play. Look, he's a restricted free agent. Let's see how that impacts his play because there's no doubt I watched it a couple times.
Are you worried about that?
I don't know. I asked Festus about it on the show yesterday and he goes, oh, it impacts. He goes, every day he thought about it like, damn, I got to play my ass off because I'm going to be a free agent. Certain guys, like in this league, you don't know where you're going to be in the future, right? It obviously loomed over Klay Thompson's head last year. It loomed over Chris Paul. It's common in sports to know that I got a contract on the line. I got to play well. So a part of him, we'll see. I think he's just playing carefree. He knows he's going to get a contract for somebody. He's going to be fine. He's going to be in the NBA for a long time. But how does it impact an individual? I don't know. Everybody's different.
Do you view him differently that the report came out that he demanded over $30 million? Demanded. He's asking for more than $30 million.
Well, you see the contracts that was floating around? See,
no, I think all of these extensions, Franz Wagner included, they're out of this. Like, Jaylen, I'm sorry.
Johnson, the guy from Atlanta, Johnson,
they're horrible.
$150 million.
Bonte, what did I say to you? I said to you last week, I go, oh, Kuminga wants, you know, $40 million. Giannis is making 51. Like, right. We all have to. I get it. Like, the next in line's got to make this. I just think some of these young guy contracts are completely out of whack. Anthony Edwards, yeah, I'll give you $50 million a year. But, like, the guy, who was the guy from the Raptors? Emmanuel Quickly, come on. I mean, yeah, what are we doing?
It's a lot of
these
money.
These deals are out of whack.
It is out of whack. All right, let's go down to San Jose. Let's go down to San Jose. We haven't heard from this guy in a long time.
Who?
He's probably feeling good because his team's
in
the World Series.
You reap what you sow, brother.
Oh, my goodness.
In the World Series. It's Nick in San Jose.
Hey, Nick.
Boys, I love you, man. First of all, I hope Shasky, your little boy, is doing well. And I got to tell you, Bonte, with that lean 60-something-year-old Mullen and that lean look in Festus, you held up in that blue suit yesterday, man. You're looking fly, brother. Look. Wait. 2022 Wings was back last night. I know it's one game. I know it's against Portland. But we got to celebrate the good in this life. And Wings played like 2022 Wings. I got to tell you, this team reminds me of early 2015 Warriors. We're deep and we defend, baby. We defend. I love it. And look. I'm happy for Moses. I don't know if JK's north of $30 million. He's going to have to play this out. He struggled a little last night, but I'm not worried about him. But Murray, even though he only had 17 points, he almost had a triple-double. He's magnetic, and Buddy Hield can just flat ASS shoot the ball, baby. I love it!
Hey, Nick.
Talk to me, boys!
Nick, you know we're homers. How many wins are the Warriors going to get? I saw a Toyota poll yesterday. They said 33% believe they could win 55-plus games. 55. Where are you at with the win total? I'm smashing the over on 43.5. Wow. That's an easy bet to me. Where are you at with the win total, Nick?
Bet.
This is a 50-win team, dude?
I think we're at 54 wins. No doubt.
Oh my goodness. I love that.
No.
No doubt.
The Chris Wilcox, 54?
Hey, I'm not mad at that, Nick. I hope you're well, man. I hope you're doing well with your little baby boy, Nick. Good to hear from you.
Let's go. Bonte. look, one game at a time is how I'm going to take this thing. But look, part of what made 2022 so magical was the start of the season, where they kind of proved to you how good they could be. Now, it ended up having like a couple of lackluster months, but it all worked itself out. Like, getting a good record early in the season is so important for this team just to get the train off the tracks in the right direction.
You know, they do need a good start. And this schedule is about to beef up. It's about to heat up in a heartbeat. Utah. Friday, Clippers, who played the Suns tough.
Oh, we got something opener. For Danny Ainge.
The New Orleans Pelicans. Now, they just lost DeJounte Murray. He has a fractured left hand, so you won't see DeJounte Murray. Zion Williamson should be back. That's a tough team. Trey Murphy, the third side of contract. Very good team. Friendly deal.
Dude, how much did he sign for?
I think it was $110 million, if I'm not mistaken.
For how many years?
I think it was four. If I'm not mistaken.
Now, like, that to me is a reasonable contract. That's actually a great value contract for that young man.
Yeah, Trey Murphy's legit. Trey Murphy's sick. Spinone, if you can check out his contract, Trey Murphy III for the Pelicans.
That's like, what, $27-28 million a year? That's not bad at all.
Pelicans with a back-to-back next week at home. Did they travel to Houston, Washington, Boston, Cleveland, and OKC? So that five-game road trip is going to really ramp up. That's going to be a tough road trip for the Warriors. Where are they at? Then they come back home for the NBA Cup against the Dallas Mavericks.
NBA Cup.
Then you got the Memphis Grizzlies. Then you got to go down. So this schedule's about to beef up, buddy. It's about to beef up.
Wait a minute. Now you're in on the play-in tournament?
No, I just bought it. What makes you say that?
Well, because you got all excited. The NBA Cup. I got excited.
Well, you know, you
guys love the courts. I know that.
That's
the most exclusive part of it. So Trey Murphy III, he signed a four-year, $112 million rookie-scale contract extension.
Yeah, that's a steal. Trey Murphy.
That's a great deal.
He's a good
player. But that's, like, to me, that is the framework. For me, I'm trying to go under 30 for Kuminga.
Yeah, I mean, even if you get him at 30, that could be a bargain in a couple years, considering what his potential could be. Like, it could be a bargain.
40 and 50 million, right. Like, those are for, you know, like, those are, that's another $12, $13 million player you could add. Because, again, the CBA is very penal. Like, so giving out $5 million here and $10 million there, it does add up for this team, considering how hard it is to swing deals right now.
Yeah, we'll see with Kuminga. We'll see what goes on with that. Go ahead,
Real quick, guys, as we're talking about finances and salary and stuff like that, this is the first time, I don't know if you guys saw this, in 11 years, where LeBron James is not the highest paid NBA player.
Wow.
It's when Stephen Curry has surpassed LeBron James.
Wow.
He's making $55.8 million this year. LeBron at number two, $48.7 million.
Well, how much is Bronny making? Because that's basically LeBron, you know, is doing this. So they had to carve out some money for Bronny. So how much is he making? $2 million?
What is Bronny doing to you, Joe Chasky?
All right? I'm just asking.
He's a winner. He's 1-0, all right? You know, get off his back.
You know, this guy has waffled back and forth about LeBron James. Or Bronny James.
Well, no, LeBron's greatness has never been questioned.
Oh, no. You wanted Bronny James in the second round. Go draft him.
Bron.
No, you wanted all of it. Oh, man. You're unbelievable. Brett Vallejo.
That's what makes this show great.
What's happening, Brett?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I just want to talk about the point of emphasis in the league and a shout-out to them with not calling so many ticky-tack fouls early. And letting the players play. And I think with their new point of emphasis, I think it's really going to help us out with us being a young, fast, aggressive team. And so watching all the games the last 2 days and just not seeing ticky-tack fouls was brought me back to what basketball used to be.
You know, Kyle Draper would be mad at you, Brett. Kyle Draper calls Kings A's. Oh, he hung up there.
The NBA has a problem right now, ladies and gentlemen. And we had Tim Kempton on the radio today.
Tim Kempton, like we all knew who he was. What did he say? Tim Kempton, he played with the Bad Boy Pistons. He played against the Bad Boy Pistons.
That would be like, is that kind of like Alan Smilagic back home going like, I'm Alan Smilagic. I played with the Splash Bros.
Dude, Alan Smilagic, he's like in a third league in this country. He's not even in like the top senior league. Yeah, he was like in
the
second league.
Well, he was the only guy that entered the league at 17 years old who looked 42.
I mean, I'll never forget the Memphis game on the back-to-back during the COVID season. And he hit the first three of the game, the first basket, and he's doing the mellow. And he almost gave himself a concussion doing the mellow. And Draymond's firing him up, and it was the only basket he made that game. And it was like, yeah, Allen, he hasn't sniffed the NBA since, poor guy. Where's Allen Smilagic at now,
No
man?
One cares.
No, I care. I always like to see what players are doing.
He's playing for, and I can't pronounce this because it's Lithuanian, but Zalgiris Kaunas, which is a Lithuanian basketball league. I think it's their number one league.
It's their number one. He got elevated to number one league.
He's an ABA champion.
Oh.
So there you go. The ABA league, as you guys know, which is, you know, from Bosnia, Herzegovina, Croatia, Montenegro, North Macedonia, Serbia, Slovenia.
Hey, his first ever interview at 95.7 The Game was Guru and I.
No way.
We interviewed the first rookie introductory presser, Alan Smilagic, Jordan Poole, and Eric Paschal.
Oh, Eric Paschal, the square button. I call him the square button because the guy only knew how to shoot. There's no X. He didn't know how to pass.
All rookie first team.
Oh, my goodness.
Dude, and then you get...
It's like Joe Smith being rookie of the year.
And then you get... I ran into somebody who knew Joe Smith, who worked with... Matter of fact, my guy, I forget.
Was it Lonnie Baxter?
No, it wasn't Lonnie Baxter. My guy, and they all listened to the show at the Burlingame Park and Recreation Center.
Oh.
It's a square park. He's from the D.C. area. He's like, dude, my cousin, we know Joe Smith a lot. I was like, really? So he keeps it, and swear to God. So they do these movie nights in Burlingame in the summertime. It's really cool. Every other Friday, they do movie nights. And
is this a story?
Oh, no, it's not a King's Tale, but Burlingame, they got the projector up, and they put on a Disney movie every other Friday. And it's pretty cool.
We put on Cars the other night for the little guy. That I don't care what anyone says. That's a great movie. Lightning McQueen's awesome.
Yeah, they played Up, the movie Up.
It's a great movie.
Great movie. And then they played Sing. I love Sing.
I don't think I've done Sing.
They got the Elton John song. I'm still standing. I'm still standing.
Yeah, okay.
We sing that as a family. I'm still standing. Gorilla did a great job singing that song. Yeah, it was fun. You got to watch Sing. You never watched Sing?
No, I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, Sing is fun, man. It's fun. It's a lot going on. A lot of characters in there. How about this? Dalton Johnson, NBC Sports. We just had him on the other day. Andrew Wiggins made 8 shots and 4 threes in the Warriors season opener last night. He didn't hit those marks until the 14th game last season. He made 8 or more shots 11 times, 4 more threes only 3 times. He's already done that in the season opener against the Portland Trailblazers. We asked him on the postgame show, you know, the empowerment that Steve Kerr gave him, saying, I want Andrew Wiggins shooting 6 or 7 threes.
I mean, when your head coach believes in you, you know, and gives you that, you know, gives that confidence to, you know, just let it fly, go up there and, you know, play pressure-free, it feels good. It feels good, and I've been working on it a lot this summer, just trying to get back to, you know, what I know I can do.
All right, there's Andrew Wiggins there. We're going to get to the injury report. It is Cowboys week, Shaq. It is Thursday, and we got a football team that needs a victory. We have a football team that needs a win.
They need one, too.
They need one, too. There's no doubt. It's Cowboys weekend. It's a must-win, according to Jerry Rice. Let's get this cut. Hey, you got the cut, Spinotti? Here's what Jerry Rice said about this week.
That game was a must-win. Now, this game coming up, I mean, we got to win this football game. If we don't win this football game, it shows that this team is just going through the motion. And they know the importance of this game coming up. And I don't want to hear this stuff about, hey, this is just another game coming up this week. Oh, no, this is the season. This is the Cowboys. And every game after that, we're going to have to take them, you know, take it one by one. And somehow we got to fight hard. And we still might have a chance of winning the division, get into the playoffs where we can start the season all over again and really, you know, cause some havoc.
I mean, Jerry was ticked off at the notion that the Kansas City Chiefs was just another game. Jerry was ticked off. He said he wanted people to fight. He was like, I want to see somebody swinging on each other. It was unacceptable what happened last Sunday. So you hear what he said? There's no doubt. It's a must-win for the Cowboys. But the hell with the Cowboys. They're frauds anyway. We know what they're going to do in the playoffs. They're going to flame out. The Niners. I'm worried about the Niners. And the Niners need a damn victory on Sunday to get the 4-4 before the bye week.
I mean, we might get Micah and Debo doing a crossover pod before the weekend. But, Bonte, here's the reality. Like, Jerry Rice is coming out, and he's questioning some of the team and the tactics and some of the schemes from the coach. Steve Young has come out on many platforms. He's questioning some stuff that's going on when it comes to play calling. Ah, man, that's not good when two of your legends that are very close to the organization – like very close to the organization are scrutinizing you. They need a win in the worst way. Like if the legends are out here questioning you, not Joe Shasky and Bonta Hill, legends who are connected in the building. I mean, that's not good, man.
No, Jerry Rice is ticked off about that. So we'll get into Niners and Cowboys. Matt Lively, KPIX Channel 5, will join us at 8:30 to give us his lay of the land. Lay of the land at practice yesterday down in Santa Clara. Niners and Cowboys. Niner fans, where are we at? It is doom and gloom right now with the 49er fans. I'm so disappointed in Niner fans right now. I swear to God I am. Aren't you fired up? It's Sunday Night Football primetime. Mike Tirico's joining the show tomorrow at 7:20. Come on, Niner fans. This is a pivotal point in the season. You can turn, because here's how I'm looking at it, Shasky. You win on Sunday, you're 4-4, bye week. You're playing Tampa Bay, who's going to be without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I could use all the bricks in the world. Tampa Bay's not going to have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and then you play Seattle back at home. You could be 6-4 in 4 weeks, folks. Top of the division, feeling good about making a playoff run. This game is massive. Massive. Operation 4-4, 888-957-9570. Can the Niners do this without Brandon Ayuk? Can they do this without Brandon Ayuk in the passing game? Can Brock Purdy get back on track? Come on, Niner fans. I know you're not giving up on the season already. Let's get to the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, Debo Samuel obviously fighting a bout of pneumonia over the weekend that required him to be hospitalized. Debo was released from the hospital on Tuesday. It should have left open the possibility that Debo will play this Sunday night against the Cowboys, depending on how Debo progresses through the week. He was on the field yesterday, running some sprints, trying to get himself back. So Deebo Samuel is going to be vital here. And this is a big game for Deebo Samuel. He's had some monster days against the Dallas Cowboys. He's a physical type of player. We know the Dallas Cowboys don't like physicality. So they need Deebo Samuel on Sunday. Plus, on the other side, you got to hear what Greg Cosell had to say about Ricky Pearsall. I was blown away by what he had to say about Ricky Pearsall. That's all coming up. Of course, that was the injury report brought to you by our great friends at Boxer Gerzen, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping get your workers get their lives back for over 40 years. As I mentioned, we'll get into Niners and Cowboys right now. We'll touch on the Warriors. Warrior fans, if you want to call in, 888-957-9570. What did you like? What didn't you like? Bob Fitzgerald will join us at 920. But what's coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises, the 49ers. Wait till you hear what Greg Cosell had to say about Ricky Pearsall. And let's get into the Niners offense here against the Dallas Cowboys. Let's get into that here on the Morning Roast.